It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
All right, welcome to the program. We, you know, Lisa, don't even push the button. I won't even tell them. We're Friday's market, of course, not a lot to report because Good Friday. So I don't have stock numbers to talk about. And I said, Scott, just wait and we'll cover it on the next day's show when we have activity for the market. So I'm going to jump over that. The only thing I will tell you is that for Friday, we did have the jobs report. Bum, 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 bum. We had a big jobs report, and it was a disappointment, to say the least. We'd been hitting over 200,000 jobs being created a month here recently, and we saw January number was 275,000. February's number was 240,000, but it got cut in half for March, only 120,000 new jobs. So that is very concerning. President commented on it and said that he, you know, welcomed the job report that, let's see here, Reuters reports. Let's see. The U.S. economy would continue to face ups and downs along the way. And then speaking, he also stressed that the jobs, we did have the number of jobs that were increased. And he said, it's clear to every American that we still will be ups and downs along the way. And we've got lots more work to do, or got a lot more work to do. Yeah, you ain't kidding, Mr. President. We got a lot more work to do. Who's we? We sure do. Get to work, Mr. Obama, and create some more jobs. That's not good. And we'll have to wait another month and see if that's a trend that we really need to get concerned about. So we will see an impact on the markets by this, and we'll comment on the market's activity when the markets have been open. And I'll have Scott back to do that. All right. Now, today we have a special edition that we're going to talk about. And I have asked, given some of the things going on in the marketplace, I have asked a friend and business associate of mine, Larry LaGrotta, to join me on the program today. Larry is what I would call, from where I sit, a real estate expert.
Well, thank you.
Yes, there he is.
I like to think so.
Hey, Larry, you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing great. You know, real estate is at the top of all of our minds, and I think it has a the jobs report has a direct impact on what I do. When people feel good about their jobs and the security of their jobs, it translates into the real estate market.
Well, everybody says, everybody knows. In fact, you could ask a fifth, you know, are you smarter than a fifth grader? You know, you could probably ask a fifth grader what's important right now. And besides Cheerios for breakfast, they'd probably say jobs and real estate, right?
Yeah, it would be hard to avoid coming to that conclusion.
Well, so you and I have known each other for a long time now. I think since early 2000, wasn't it? Maybe late 90s?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've actually started in the area back in 1999.
Okay, so that was about the time, I think, pretty early on. Yeah. You helped me with a couple of real estate transactions and did a good job for me, and so we've known each other for a while now. And So you work in the Volusia Flagler markets?
I'm in the Volusia markets. Specifically, Ormond Beach is where I really...
Oh, that's really your focus.
Well,
okay.
That's where I live, and that's what I know, and I like to sell what I know. So primarily Ormond Beach. We'll cover the whole Daytona Beach area, Port Orange, so forth and so on. And I do go up into Flagler a little bit, but Ormond Beach is where I like where
that's
I like
your
to
focus.
Do my business.
There's nothing wrong with Ormond Beach. Beautiful area.
Absolutely.
And you're with your broker. You're with is Realty
I'm with
Pros.
Realty Pros Assured.
Okay.
It's a up and coming office. Been in business for going on 3 years or so.
A lot of talent though that went there from some of the other firms.
Well, yeah, a lot of it is very very experienced. In fact, when the broker opened it up, that was his goal, was to get experienced agents to join his team, and basically come in and dominate the market. And that's what we're looking for.
Kind of the big boys club.
That's right.
And girls, of course.
We're not a national chain. We're a local company, but we have everything that they have plus more.
I like that. Well, it's good to know you're working with a local company and somebody that knows the area. So if somebody's looking for some help on a real estate transaction, how's this work? They call you and say, Larry, I need some help?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we get a call. A lot of times we'll run ads in the magazines on a specific property, and they'll call with questions about that. And then they may find it suitable for themselves, or they may not. If not, and then we take it to the next step to try to determine what they're looking for, and then get out there and show them what their choices are. And I think the big thing is when I'm working with buyers, one of the things that we like to do is get them out and show them the area. Because when you're coming from somewhere else, you don't know.
Oh, yeah, you have no idea.
What this place has to offer. It's the little hidden areas, the back roads, and the special things that we have in Ormond Beach that's my job to familiarize people with.
All right. Well, tell them about how to get a hold of you.
They can get a hold of me by calling me on my cell phone. That's 386-212-1202, 386-212-1202. And that's the best way to get a hold of me, because I answer my calls as they come in. So, if I'm unable to answer it, that's because I'm working with a customer. Leave me a short message and I'll get right back to you.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with more from Larry LaGrotta, local real estate broker and expert. And we'll be able to get into some additional specific topics after the break. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply, or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back. And the question before the break was, are you smarter than a fifth grader? And Larry says, yeah, everybody, when it comes to real estate, they are, and they know that's a big topic. Well, so break it down for me. I want to do some basic stuff that, let's say, Larry, that I have outgrown my home and I need a new home, or I don't need my home and I want a smaller home. So, you know, once upon a time, it used to be, I remember this when we did our first transaction, we helped me buy my first home, okay? That when we bought that home, worked beautifully, it was great. And then when it came time to sell that home to buy another home, because we were ready to move up and get something a little bit bigger, we put in a contingency.
Right.
Once upon a time, if I sell my home by this date, I'll buy your home.
Right.
That's gone, isn't it?
I think it's pretty much gone, because most sellers can't afford to take the risk to pull the house off the market while you settle your contingencies, other than the basic financing contingency.
Well, sure, that's normal.
But contingent upon the sale of the house, that's pretty hard to come by nowadays. There's too much risk for the seller involved to do that.
So what's the first step? Let's break this down. What's the first step? Somebody wants to sell their house because they want to buy another one.
Well, I mean, I guess the first step is to just see if it makes sense for you. I mean, it comes down to the dollars involved. So right now, as I look at the market, a lot of us are looking back to the home prices of 2002 and 2003. And if you're able to sell your home and still walk away with a little bit of money, you're obviously in a good position, but that's not the case for most people. So what we struggle with is trying to make people understand that sometimes money might be made on the purchase. So in other words, you may give up something on the sale, but you may gain it on the purchase.
So you're selling low, but you're also buying low.
You're also buying low, but you're buying low at a time in the market where we actually are starting to see it plateau a little bit, bounce around on the bottom a little bit. So we're hoping to start seeing some upward momentum, and we are seeing some of that. We'll see it 1 month. We'll have it taken away the following month. So, I mean, we're just kind of in that little gray area.
But it's not getting worse.
I don't think it's getting any worse. You know, we've had a lot of talk about this shadow inventory that the mortgage companies have, but a lot of things have happened since then. Banks are more likely to try to settle with you now. So that property will never become a bank property. That's a positive thing. And there's also some government programs out there that are suitable for primary homes, not these secondary homes, investment properties, where we have a lot of issues there too. So if it makes sense and people will understand that, yeah, they might be selling low, but they're also buying low. And if they're going to stay in that next home for a few years, 5 years or so, chances are they're going to do okay. They're going to ride the next wave.
That makes sense. Well, we're talking with Larry LaGrotta with Realty Pros Assured. That's a nice name. You're assured of a Realty Pro. I like that. And his number is 212-1202. And that's the best way to get a hold of Larry, and he can guide you through this real estate process, which I can tell you firsthand, I've worked with Larry, and it makes it a lot easier to have a pro on your side.
That's right.
So what else is happening? What are you seeing right now as some of the trends, or what, you know, again, let's go back. Let me go back to my basic analysis, because I think a lot of times we assume people know. I didn't know nearly what I know today about real estate, you know, way back when I bought my first home or my second home, when I sold the first to move into the second. So they decide, let's say that they've got some equity, right, or they think they do.
Yeah.
Before they even do they get an appraisal before you even get started, or is that necessary?
I don't think it's really necessary. If you've got a qualified real estate agent, we're using
so
the same numbers.
So you can give us a good idea.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're using the same numbers that the appraisers use.
So if I say, okay, I've got my home, you say, okay, David, it's worth, you know, just give you an example, this hypothetical situation, it's worth 200.
Right. Okay. We'll give a range. Generally.
You'll give a range.
Yeah.
And let's say I owe less than that, so right, I'm going to come out a little ahead. So then what do I do? Do I need to do anything to say, okay, well, what do I do now, Larry? You list the property? How's that? And then, because I know you'd want to come up with maybe, there's plenty of inventory.
There is plenty of inventory.
So you'd maybe want to sell yours first.
Right.
Then go, it's pretty easy to go find something.
Right. I think the most important thing is positioning your property against your competition.
Okay.
So what we do when we come up with a price range as far as a value, we see where you fit in. And what we try to do is to put you directly against the competition that you have to worry about. There's a lot of houses out there, but they all don't compete directly.
Well, we need to talk about this. This is really the key issue that I think a lot of people are facing. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back. I'm joined in my studio here with Larry LaGrotta, Realty Pros Assured. And Larry can be reached at 212-1202. And Larry does good work. I've seen him do it. So we're talking about the steps to take when you're actually, I mean, we're doing basic stuff here because I think a lot of people miss some of this basic stuff and they don't really know what to do. So they decided that they're going to list the home with you.
Right.
Good choice.
Right.
And they're going to figure out what to price it. And you say price it against your competition. What does that mean?
That means that there's going to be homes that are similar to yours. Maybe in the same neighborhood.
Okay. Or they've got similar characteristics.
Right.
So you can go out there and take a look at what other properties like theirs are priced, and then right, you decide where to be.
Right.
A house, so a person looking for a pool is going to be looking for a pool.
A pool home. Right.
Yeah.
possibly, and sometimes it might be best to get one without a pool and then put the pool in it, because even the cost of putting in a pool nowadays has come down.
Oh, I'm sure it has.
I think it more is apples to apples, oranges to oranges. If we're talking about a house in a specific community, we start there, because every community has value. So we start there, and if we can't find enough comparables, then we'll move outside and make adjustments to get the pricing right.
Okay, so then we price it, you list it, it goes into the MLS, right. Everybody can see it.
We prepare it. I think number one is it has to look its best.
So every landscaping, showing,
everything that you can
do have furniture
now,
in it.
You could get away with it when the market was hot, that you could throw it on the market wet, and people would come in and buy it in a matter of a few days. Nowadays, there's so many choices that now what it comes down to is preparing the property, making it look its absolute best,
because
you may only get one chance.
Right. Well, and I think that's critical. And now, for now, let's flip it around. How about the buyer? They've come from up north. There's, maybe it's a retiree that it says, you know what? I only can put off my dream so long. And they're moving down here. They want to be close to the kids. They want to enjoy the beach. They say, I'm coming down.
Well,
and they give you a call, Larry. What do you tell them?
We try to find out exactly what they're looking for, look at their price range. The first step really is to decide where they're getting their money from. If they're coming with cash, the whole world is open to them. If they're looking for money, they're looking to go to a bank, we need to do some preparation in advance of their arrival. A pre-approval letter, not a pre-qualification letter. A pre-approval letter is the key, especially when we're talking about maybe taking advantage of an opportunity on a foreclosed or short sale type property. The banks require them with the offer.
Very good. Very good.
So I would tell them, get that in your back pocket, because if we find that foreclosure deal, and there's plenty of them out there, we're going to have to move quickly, and we need that with the offer. So I would say prepare, and then it's just a matter of coming down and spending the time
looking at the properties.
Yeah.
Okay.
Put your tennis shoes on and let's hit the road.
Because there's a lot of property. Then you got to choose between, you want to be on the condo on the beach, you want to be over mainland side. What do you want?
Well, and a lot of people are under the impression that there's just a bunch of distressed properties on the market, and I would tell you that the inventory of distressed properties has significantly declined.
Yeah.
So now sellers that have strong hands, they're not distressed, they're trying to move the market up, and we are seeing slight appreciation.
So we burned through some of the people that were really, really desperate, and now what you're seeing, and I don't think, it's funny you call it a strong hand. I actually think it's almost like a do or die hand. I don't know if it's even a strong hand. It's I know what you mean by that, but what I see it as is I think people have a number and they just can't go below it.
Right.
Period. I've got a mortgage. I cannot afford to sell this home for less than the mortgage is. So look, I'm just going to put it on the market. And when the market comes up high enough to pay off my $200,000 mortgage, and even if I don't get anything out of it, I got to pay the realtor. I got to pay the fees. I got to pay this. I got to pay that. So that's my number.
Right.
Period.
Exactly.
Go get a distressed property. But after that, this is where it is. Am I right?
That's right.
Okay.
I don't know how to say it. That is right.
That's it, isn't it? I mean,
it's simple. It really is simple.
So the opportunity, it's a cliche, but the opportunity is now.
The opportunity is now. This is where the risk takers take their risk and make their money.
But not even just a risk taker, somebody just looking for a value, because if you're somebody moving to this area and you're a retiree, or if you're a local retiree and you just want to, you're ready to sell the house, and, I joke around with my dad. He's got a home in Ormond, and, he's out there mowing the yard. He likes to do it, but he says, at some point I'm not really want to do this anymore. And, yes, maybe I hire somebody to mow my grass. That's just an example. But, being able to be in a condo on a beach wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Absolutely.
And making that adjustment, now's a good time, because you do see this favorable opportunity.
Absolutely.
Sounds good to me. All right, Lisa is flashing me again with that 5-second fan. She's been good to me today. I haven't run over. So we're going to take a quick break. More when we get back with Larry LaGrotta, Realty Pros Assured, 212-1202. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back. Oh, you caught us talking on the break. No, this is good stuff. Larry and I are talking about some of the deals he's been working on lately, and there's some real good deals out there.
Oh yeah. I would like to take advantage of them, but I would have to sell my house. But I'm pretty happy where I'm at right now, so
yeah,
we're going to stay there. Unless the wife will let me move to an oceanfront condo, I'm going to stay put.
Well, good luck.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's been difficult.
Well, you know, when you get something that's comfortable, you stay there. But you know what? It's about picking your opportunity. And I think it's interesting what you said about people looking at getting out of something and they pay their, they kind of lose them, but there's a bigger opportunity on the other side.
Right.
And, but Larry's with us, Larry LaGrotta, Realty Pros, 212-1202. And so what else you see in the local market happening that you think is something that our listeners really need to know about?
Well, you know, real estate is local. A lot of people are used to seeing the national picture, the headlines. But Ormond Beach stands alone. It stands by itself. It's very, very desirable. And, you know, when the market did take the big hit, Arizona, Nevada, California, and Florida were the top four. But it's interesting to learn now that the top 10 foreclosure states, Florida is number 7 now. So obviously people are taking advantage of the opportunities, and maybe a lot of the distressed properties, we just won't see them anymore. So there may be an inventory, or there may not be a distressed inventory when you get here. So the market's very, very fluid, and it is very, very local. So I would just say national headlines, yeah, they do mean something, but you really have to look local and talk to a local person. So when I talk to local people, I talk to homeowners, but I also talk to a lot of realtors.
Mm-hmm.
And what realtors are telling me is that they're seeing an uptick in the market.
In terms of people, number of people wanting to buy a home?
Number of contacts.
So demand.
Demand. You know, it's all the old supply-demand equation.
How about the supply side? Are there more and more people looking at putting their properties on the market? Or
That's pretty much, if we look back at last month, we're probably about the same number of new listings as we were last year this time.
You got some numbers? Any ballpark numbers you can give me?
I would say that so far this year, I believe we're somewhere around 500 new listings over the last couple months.
Okay.
And that's right in line with last year. So okay. I don't really see an uptick, and I don't see an uptick yet on distressed properties. So when I talk to realtors, they're saying that they are seeing an improvement in the market. They're seeing people starting to make decisions. They're making life decisions. They're saying, I'm not going to wait until somebody tells me that it's perfect and it's just okay to jump in. I'm going to make my own decision and talk to some experts and then decide when I'm going to come in the market. And they're deciding to.
Yeah, and it's a lot like the car. It's a lot like cars where, you know, the average age of a car on the road today is the longest it's ever been.
Right.
It's like 10 or 11 years, something like that. And so there's only so much pent-up demand that's going to hold.
Right.
Eventually, people are going to, you know, make that move.
That's funny that you should say the, you know, it's water backing up behind the dam.
It really is.
Since 2006, just a lot of retirees put their plans on hold, and a lot of them are starting to question whether or not they should just go ahead and go on with their plans.
I've had people I've worked with, my existing clients, where we've talked about, you know, maybe buying a new home and selling and doing some different things. And some of it is downsizing. Some of it is, ironically, I'm tired of living in a condo and I want to live in a house now, and I'll rent the condo out or I'll do something. So people are looking at it because they don't want to just hang out.
Right. And, you know, I think one of the big things is there are a lot of cash buyers, and we are starting to question whether or not cash is the way to go, because we see opportunities for people to get cheap money.
Rates are so low.
Cheap money.
Yep.
And then taking their assets and then investing them in other financial instruments.
Well, and that's really basically diversification. You know, when you say cash buyer, you mean literally cash purchase.
I'm talking about writing a check.
All cash.
I'm talking writing
checks. So they're buying a home for $100,000 or $200,000.
Three,
they're writing a check.
$460,000.
Wow. Okay.
Oh yeah. They've
so
got
they're writing
money.
A check. And so, yeah. So you're putting all your money into that one thing, as
right.
opposed to be, as we talk a lot on the show, ladies and gentlemen, about being diversified.
Right.
So yeah, that's interesting. But there are cash buyers out there, and it's not just individuals. We talked before we started the show. There are some big companies out there that have raised $500 million in capital who are going now and buying up homes. Right. Some of these, so there are, you know, whenever there's a, you know, it's a natural thing the way our economy or the capitalistic society works is gaps or holes get filled. And so now these big companies are going and they're buying up properties. Right. They might buy the one you got your eye on out there.
It's time to follow their leads. They they do a lot of research before they make the move.
So they're buying tens of thousands of homes and they're going to rent them out.
Right.
Wow. All right, Larry. Larry LaGrotta, Realty Pros, 212-1202. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back with more local real estate information.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Are we back, Lisa? We are back, and we are having a nice, good, casual, relaxed. I don't have my Hawaiian shirt on, but Larry does. And
people know me because my shirt, when I got here 14 years ago, I came from Hawaii, and this would be a business professional dress.
Oh, it would be.
Oh, yeah. In Hawaii, it is. So I just carry over from there, and people often pick me out of a crowd by my shirts.
Well, hey, we all got to have our signature. Larry LaGrotta, 212-1202, Realty Pros Assured, and he's updating us on the local market and what's happening. And, you know, you talk about destinations or where you're going to live, where you're going to raise a family. I love Ormond Beach personally. I know there's a lot of other great communities right here. I can't imagine living somewhere else. This area has a tremendous amount to offer.
Right.
And so people just need to take a look at it. So
I think when you live here, sometimes you just take it for granted.
I think we do.
And what I try to do as I drive around town and down the beach, I try to remove myself from being a local and just kind of take a fresh look at it. It's a very attractive town.
Traffic is not too bad. It gets a little heavy, but not bad at all.
We watch them play bumper cars in Orlando on the morning news, and then I jump in my car and take a leisurely drive to work. But I know that I can go to Orlando on the weekend when they're not playing bumper cars and get anything I want.
Well, yeah, if you really want to go. Good luck. I've been through Orlando on the weekend, and it's still bumper sometimes. But, you know, we've got beaches. We've got oak trees. I call it oak trees and beaches. It's just, and it's, you know, yeah, it gets hot sometimes, but, you know, it's pretty nice. Pretty nice combination.
Well, I was faced with a decision. It was either Hawaii or Ormond Beach. I chose Ormond Beach, not only because I've been in and out of the town for over 35 years. My parents lived here. But I chose Ormond Beach because it was a good fresh start for me to start in real estate. But I got to tell you, it's close. The water's not necessarily as blue, but the climate and everything else is just wonderful.
That's good. That's very good. Well, so any last thoughts for people that are, you know, looking to do something? I mean, somebody's got money and they want to. What about rental? We haven't talked about rentals.
Well, you know, with the distressed properties coming on the market, obviously we've lost some homeowners. Those homeowners become renters. So now the rental market is starting to see some increases. So
more
it's going
demand,
to cost more.
Now, who's it's going to cost more?
It's going to cost more to rent that house.
Okay.
Because now we've got, on the supply-demand side, now we've got...
So more homes have been rented. And there are more homes that are being sold, so there's less to rent.
Right. But the people that lost their homes, short sales and foreclosures, they now are renters.
Ah.
So okay. Now they put additional pressure on the market, which is driving the price up. So on the good, solid communities in Ormond Beach, it starts to climb on you a little bit. So it works both ways.
Yeah.
On the rental and the real estate market, they're tied.
So somebody maybe who is underwater with a home and they're saying, you know, I've got to wait for the tide to rise or I've got my quote unquote strong hand. I've got my number and I can't go below. In the meantime, rent it.
That's a possibility.
Okay.
If it's in the right neighborhood and you can get the right dollar for it, you can rent it. Because typically as the price of the rental goes up, the way the tenants take care of your property also improves.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
You know, the cost for admission sometimes dictates how well they're going to take care of your property.
All right. And what kind of person you're going to have rent.
That's right.
So call it what it is, right?
That's what it is.
I mean, somebody that's going to take care of your property or going to move out in the middle of the night.
Right. That's the way it works a lot of cases.
That's interesting. And so what about somebody looking to rent? What do you say to that? The choices are slimming down, aren't they?
They don't have a lot of choices.
Okay.
And the problem is they go into the market thinking that they're a home buyer. So they'll go in and evaluate a house for rent on the same standard as if they were buying it. And that becomes a problem. They have to be reminded that their choices are limited and this is a very temporary situation for them, hopefully, that they're going to be renting.
Yeah, and also temporary that the owner may want to sell anyway at some point, and you may not be here after a year, even if you want to be.
That's right.
You know, your typical rental arrangement in a multifamily property like we're seeing built, and there being more and more of that, we've got one going in just across the street over here, you see that and you say, well, you know, that's because of what? That's because of demand.
That's right.
That's been a lot of the construction business.
Right.
Is the multifamily.
Well, that's right, multifamily. We have to have a place to live.
You know, we do.
that really hasn't changed. You know, be it a house, I guess, is preferable over a car, but we have to have a place to live. So you're either going to be a home buyer or you're going to be a tenant. You're going to be a renter. And there's plenty of opportunities on both of those, but they're tied.
Yeah. But I think the general thing that I would draw from our conversation today with Larry LaGrotta, Realty Pros, one more time, 212-1202, is that it's starting to turn. And if you're hanging out or you're wondering if someday I'll do this or I'm waiting for a better deal, the better deals are now.
Well, right. Hindsight is 2020.
Yeah.
We all often look back after the train has left the station. It takes a little bit of confidence to move forward. But I would say that if you've got a long horizon, you're looking to buy and you're going to be in that home
then
for
do
5 years,
it.
I say do it. I think it's a
All
safe
right.
bet.
Well, Lisa's telling me this train has left the station. We're out of time. Thanks for joining us today, Larry.
Thank you, Dave.
You're very welcome. Be sure to tune in next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.